The first song we sang gave me courage. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Well, this is Father's Day, and we do want to acknowledge the fathers today. The world is not an example for us to look to for godly fathers. Oftentimes, our fathers are to represent what our Heavenly Father is. Our Heavenly Father is the perfect Father. But our Heavenly Father is perfect. He is the mighty God. And so this morning, before we speak about the fathers, we would like to speak about our Heavenly Father. Our first scripture is found in Deuteronomy 10 and 17. We're going to read several scriptures about the mighty God. We wanted to encourage our faith this morning that we can look to the mighty God. When we may not be able to look to our earthly Father, you can trust and look to our Heavenly Father. It says, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods." What a wonderful thing that you and I are not in darkness today. We're not in confusion. We're not wondering who God is. You are blessed and I am blessed to know the one true God. Can you imagine this morning being a heathen, totally ignorant of the one true God? But our God this morning is the one true God. He is the God of gods. It says He is the Lord of lords. He is a great God, a mighty and a terrible God. He is the Lord of lords and He is mighty. He is the mighty God. If you study the Old Testament of all of the things that God did for His people, He did have a chosen people, but He doesn't show any more favor. He doesn't love you and me because we are His people any more than He loves the drunkard that is out there. He loves them. He desires that all come to repentance and be saved, and He has the might and the power for everyone in the world to be saved. So the Lord alone is God, this Lord. But He says, our God has eyes that see. Our God has ears that hear. Aren't you thankful this morning that He is a God that can hear? That He is a prayer-hearing God. And He answers prayer. It says, the scripture tells us He knows the thoughts of our heart. He knows what we desire. He knows how to help us. It says that He has a mouth that can speak. He has a nose that can smell. He is God. Why is it necessary that He have a nose that can smell? Because it says in the Word that He loves to come and smell in our assembly. This morning, we have just a small assembly here. Do you think that He turned and walked out the door because there weren't 100 people here? No. He loves to come and smell where the saints are gathered together. There is a sweet odor that comes up before Him and draws His attention. If we are worshiping Him this morning, He's turning His attention toward us. He is the mighty God. Another scripture in Deuteronomy 4 and verses 32 to 36. It says, "Ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that the Lord created man upon the earth, and ask from one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is or hath been heard of. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire as thou hast heard?" He's speaking of Moses right here. Moses was in here. He heard the fire, heard the voice out of the fire. But I want to say this morning that we can go out and maybe interview people on the street and ask them, "Do you know how it was in the beginning? Do you know about the God, the creator of the ends of the earth? And do you know all about the past since the day that the Lord created the man? Has there ever been anything you can ask from one side of heaven to the other? And this morning, it will pay you and me to stop in the busyness of our life, the cares of life that we may be thinking about I'm facing tomorrow, and stop and think about the mighty God. What has He done for you? He has done great and mighty things for His people. Have you ever heard of three men going into a fire and coming out without the smell of smoke? But there was a fourth man in the fire. He is the mighty God. Have you ever heard of a man that was cast into a lion's den, and the angel of the Lord closed the mouth of the lions? He was not harmed. Have you ever heard of those things? Well, yes, we have heard of our mighty God. He is mighty in this age. Oh, those are old stories. But we could tell of some things the Lord has done in this age. So it says, did people ever hear the voice of the Lord speaking out of the fire? Or hath God essayed to go and take a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations or signs or wonders or war, or by a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt? Oh, that's a whole nother story, isn't it? Where the Lord had a people that were in bondage. And He allowed that to happen for you and me because you and I have been in bondage. Egypt represented sin. And He brought them and delivered them out of sin. And when you think about that account and all that they had to pass through, because Pharaoh did not want to turn them loose, and many plagues had to come, many things had to take place in order to bring Pharaoh to the place to say, I want you to leave here. It's the same with you and me. We can liken it to the bondage of sin, where Satan had control of our lives, where Satan had us bound. And when the Spirit of the Lord began to work with us and deal with us and draw us and enlighten us and begin to convict us, there was a war that took place. Satan didn't want to turn me loose. Satan didn't want to turn you loose. He wanted to hold on to you. He wanted to take you and me to a devil's hell. It's still his purpose today. He has many people bound out there. But I want to tell you, we're still serving the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one that is able to deliver and break those chains of darkness. Thank the Lord. So He has taken a people out of a nation. God has a people in this nation. It is not that we are citizens of this nation by birth. We live here. But we have a spiritual birth. We have a spiritual citizenship that is not of this world. We had someone testify Wednesday night and read some of those scriptures. It's inspiring. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. Why? Because we're serving the mighty God. Verse 35, unto thee it is shewed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice. Oh, we haven't heard His voice out of the fire like Moses did. But if you listen carefully, you'll hear a voice out of heaven. Thank the Lord. It is a still, small voice. And we have to recognize it. We have to know His voice. And it says, out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, and that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he shewed thee his great fire. What fire is that? Sister Lenita spoke Wednesday night about the fire that was in the Old Testament. And it really enlarged some thoughts in my mind. It was the fire that led them by night. The pillar of light, fire, led the children of Israel. It wasn't a consuming fire. It was a fire of light. And then we move over into the New Testament, where Jesus told his disciples, I want you to tarry at Jerusalem and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. And when that day came, and there was a rushing mighty wind, and they were all in one accord, and it said, what? Set on their heads, a flame of fire, like a cloven tongue. And we haven't seen it again, but now it is the fire of the Holy Spirit, right in our very soul, in our life. It is burning there. We ask for it. Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God. Fill me with the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's a fire that He wants it to be living in us and working in us. He is the mighty God. Oh, we've got a God that we can trust and believe in. Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, I believe, and verses 17 through 19, and it says, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There's nothing too hard for our God. Our faith is, or lack of faith, is the only limitations to God. He wants you and me to believe in Him, trust in Him, and know that He is the mighty God. Verse 18, thou shewest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. Oh, I want to tell you, when it says that He shows loving kindness to the thousands, that means to the generations. To all of the generations that have come and all of the generations that have gone. And He wants to show His loving kindness because He is the great and the mighty God, and the Lord of hosts is His name. Then I have one more scripture about the mighty God in Zephaniah, the 3rd chapter and verse 17. And it says, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. Oh, thank the Lord that He hasn't withdrawn His Spirit from the earth. We sometimes hear people think that God is withdrawing His Spirit from the earth. And it may appear to be so, but it is not God's Spirit that is withdrawn. It's the hardness of men's hearts to receive it. That's what limits the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God is still the same today. And the scripture here says, He is in the midst of thee, and He is mighty. Thank the Lord. He will save. He will rejoice over thee. Don't you know the Lord this morning is desiring to rejoice over you? It doesn't matter what year, what generation comes, what generation goes. For every generation, He wants to be in the midst of that generation to a people that will receive Him. And He will have joy over His people. He will rest in His love, and He will joy over thee with singing. Now we may change just a little thought. We're going to read out of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, to transcend to the next thought that we have on our heart this morning. The scriptures, we're not going to be able to have time to read them all, but we're going to look at verses 2 through 4. 7 and 8, 18 through 21. So in the 11th chapter, verse 2, it says, "Know ye this day that I speak not with your children, which have not known and have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God. Your children have not seen his greatness. Your children have not seen his mighty hand and his outstretched arm." Now, I've added that in there because it doesn't take away from it. It lets us understand the essence of this verse. Our children have, if we are here this morning and we are of an age that there is another generation, oftentimes when we were young, when we were beginning in our generation, the generation before us knew a whole lot more than we did. And it's the same today. With every generation where God is proving his mighty power and revealing himself, where he is demonstrating his deliverances, where he has sent his Holy Spirit and that fire within our very being, and revealing things unto us that only his Spirit can reveal. And as we respond to that, we learn of him. And yet there's a generation of youth, young people, that have not seen it, not felt it, not experienced it. So this is a passage of Scripture that is saying that to the fathers, your father. Your children have not seen, or they have not known, they haven't understood the chastisement of the Lord your God, or his greatness. They haven't experienced it. Oh, when I was young, I've testified here that it was my great aunt that took care of me. She was more like my grandma. She's the one that taught me to love the truth. Oh, we attended services, but sometimes we need someone in our life that is an example and that instills in us, awakens in us a love for God, a love for his word, a love for his truth. Oh, I want to tell you, if you ever fall in love with the Lord, you'll never leave him. If you ever fall in love with the Word of God, you'll never leave it. Oh, I love the Church of God. If you ever fall in love with the Church of God, you won't leave it. Remember that. But someone has to portray it to you because you're of a young generation. It has to be awakened. Even the chastisements of the Lord. Does the Lord chastise his people? Absolutely. He's our heavenly Father. And it says if he didn't do that, if he didn't correct us, we would not be his sons and daughters. He does it because we are his children. And so the next generation has to be awakened to his greatness. That's what my Aunt Lizzie did. As a little girl, she instilled in me something that was in my heart. She instilled in me a love for even modesty. Oh, I didn't always be modest, but she put something in my heart. You've heard me tell. I couldn't have been but maybe 3 years old. And my mother let me wear shorts. And we were out in the car one day and we were going to go by her house. And I didn't want my Aunt Lizzie to see me in shorts. And there was a pillow in the back seat and I took it and covered my legs. I'm about 3 years old. That's because Aunt Lizzie passed something to me. Oh, listen, fathers, we need to pass something to our children that they will love God and they will love the truth, and they will want to follow the truth. That's what Aunt Lizzie did. Even though I went away, even though I lived in sin, I never forgot it. And that's what the Word says anyway. If we teach them, they'll not turn away from it when they're old. This passage here is, I'm not speaking to those that have seen it. I'm speaking to those that have seen it. I'm not speaking to those that have not seen it, I mean. It also says in verse 3 that your children have not seen his miracles or his great acts. And he's speaking here about the children of Israel in Egypt and all that they went through. We've already spoken a little bit about that. All that he did to the army of Egypt and their horses and their chariots, we know what happened to it. We have the account. But their children weren't there. Their children were born after that. And then verse 7, it says, but your eyes have seen all of the great acts of the Lord. Have you seen the mighty God? Have you seen what he can do? Have you tasted of it? Have you experienced it? Hold on to it. You need to pass it on to your children someday. And verse 8, it says, therefore shall ye keep all the commandments. And then the latter part of that verse says, that ye may be strong and possess the land. Now skip down to verse 18. And it says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart. What is he talking about? I want to tell you what my aunt, one of the ways that she taught me to love the truth, she told me stories, accounts of how great God was, answers to prayer, healings in the body, the way that the Lord led her in her life. And I saw, as a child, I could see that the hand of the Lord was in her life. She was a real saint of God. Oh, we need that influence, don't we? And it says, we're to lay these words up in our heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. You know, we need blinders sometimes. Did you know that there are horses and you don't hardly see it anymore because they're not pulling a wagon or pulling a cart of some kind? But there were horses that were easily spooked by movements or what they might see out of the corner of their eye. And so they would put these blinders on the side where they didn't see those things that were a distraction to them. I want to tell you something. We need that. Spiritually, we need some blinders or frontlets to our eyes, that we're not distracted by the ways of the world, that we're not influenced by the things that are out here that I can just sort of see to the side, see? It can hinder me. But when we're looking straight ahead, when we have our face set like a flint, and we're not allowing these things of the world, Paul said in one place, none of these things move me. Oh, we've got to keep our eyes looking straight ahead. We can't turn to the left or the right. Verse 19, and then it says, ye shall teach your children. Oh, I want to tell you, because we are serving the mighty God that has performed mighty works, not only in the Old Testament, but he's performed mighty works in our lives. Are we past the day of miracles? No, we're not. And we must look for the miracles and expect the miracles. And we must leave our testimony to the next generation and say, God is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we must teach our children, speaking to them, it says, when they are sitting in the house and when they walk by the way and when they lie down and when they rise up. Oh, I want to tell you, it's valuable to pass it on to your children. the love that you have. Let it be a burning love in your heart for the Word of God and for His people. And then pass it on and speak to your children of these things. You know, we're living in a time where there's a lot of criticism. People criticizing the people of God, and children hear it. Oh, you may think that they don't hear it. You may try to say it maybe with your companion where you think you're private, but then pretty soon the seeds of that will just sort of start coming out and they'll hear it. And it will influence them. And I would say it has been a great hindrance to generations that were affected by criticism of the people of God than anything else. It drew them away. But if you are in love with God and His Word and His people, you won't criticize. Even when you might see something that you question, you'll take it to the Lord and leave it there. But to utter the words that will hinder the next generation is a great damage. Some people never get over it. Never recover from what they've heard about somebody that might have even been a preacher. Lord, help us. Help us to take this carefully. And then it says, write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. That means your whole household. Your whole house will be in love with God. Your whole house will be in love with His Word. And appreciate the Word of God. And appreciate the preached Word. And appreciate the songs. And appreciate the services. The services will be where your heart will be. And this has been said. Lauren says for me not to exaggerate sometimes, but it's probably been said 1,000 times in your hearing that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Don't neglect it. Don't forsake it. This is God's plan to help us make that day. And it says especially as we see that day coming. We're seeing that day coming. All of the signs are there. Oh, you say, well, that's been said throughout the generations. I want to tell you, some of us will see our day before the coming of the Lord. But there will be a generation that they will see the Lord appear in the eastern sky with clouds of witnesses and all of the saints and those that are dead. Those that are saint, that were saved and they're in the graves, they will come out and they will rise and we will forever be with the Lord. I want to tell you, this is God's method to help you and me make heaven. It's foolish, but it's His method. And He says, write it on the doorpost of your heart, of your house, and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied, and then what else? That the days of your children. I want to tell you, Paul said in one place, if I preach to others, and I myself become a castaway, I want to link that up. With parents, if we don't pass it on to our children, if we don't live this thing before our children and demonstrate our deep love and reverence not only for God but His Word and His people, it won't be passed on. That the days of your children will be multiplied. So that's the passage I have in Deuteronomy, 22nd verse. And if ye shall diligently keep these commandments, which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways, and to cleave unto them, it says if ye will diligently do it, then the Lord will do something for you. He'll drive out all of those nations which we're not looking for that literally. We're looking for the enemy to be rebuked. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we weren't serving the mighty God, I wouldn't be serving him. I would be terrified to even resist the devil. Let me tell you something. God gives us power over Satan. That's part of his mighty works. He gives us authority over the devil. We have something we're going to read about that. But I want to tell you, last night, this is my testimony. Last night, for the last few nights, I've been having a real struggle in the night. And I am awakened in the night, and I am battling the devil. And I started saying it, and I think it was even in my dreams. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, and I claim that power to overcome. Satan will try to hinder us even in the night. But if we will obey him and serve him diligently and love him and walk in his ways and cleave unto him, he will drive out to Satan. Thank the Lord. Now, I want to say that the next scripture is from Isaiah 44 and 6 and 8. I know we have a lot of scriptures this morning, but do you know what? The word of the Lord is what's going to stand. It's not going to be any other words that are spoken here this morning. If all that we did was just read the word of God, it would stand. It would speak for itself. So the 44th chapter, and we're going to look at 6 and 8. It says this, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Now go to verse 8. "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses." That's what I want us to get a hold of right now, is that we are witnesses of the mighty God, of all that he has done. I want to encourage us this morning. I've been reading a number of the books of the older saints that are gone. They are so inspiring. We need to read those books. We need to let the miracles that they're telling about sink down in our heart to encourage our faith. Because they are witnesses. They are witnesses of the mighty works of God. And we need those things in our life, that we are also witnesses, that he is able to help this generation. I'm very concerned about this generation. We have represented among us possibly four generations at one time. I'm not sure about that. But there is an older generation that is soon going to be passing off the scene. We're of that generation. Then there is a generation that is of our children. And our children, if they don't get a hold of the truth, they will not be able to pass it to our grandchildren's generation. And if they do not get a hold of it, how will it be passed to our great-grandchildren's generation? So I'm thinking of four generations and how that we need, well, there is a song. It's familiar to us. We've heard it. May those who come behind us find us what? Faithful. Let us leave a witness of the Almighty God and all of his power and all that he has done. Let us not fail to tell it. Oh, you may say, well, you've told so many stories about your testimonies down through your life. You've told them over and over. It's an old story. I want to say it's an old story. The Word of God is an old story. But I love to tell the story. There's somebody that may be here that didn't hear it. So we are witnesses now. We know what He can do and what He has done. And we have read it. And we know His chastisements. And we know His miracles. And we know. See, he told it. He said that your children don't know it yet, but you know it. Your eyes have seen it. You've experienced it. So now you're responsible because you're a witness. So now we want to speak to the fathers. Actually, we speak to us all this morning. But this is Father's Day. The next scripture is in 2 Samuel 10 and 12. And I've been reading, and I want to encourage you to do it too. It's both in Chronicles and in the book of Samuel, about David's mighty men. Oh, it's really, turn over there. In your devotions, did you know your devotions don't have to be dull? Did you know that you can find things in the Word of God that absolutely thrills your soul? So I'm giving you something to study in your devotions because I found it refreshing. And when I got a new Bible. I got a new Bible just like my old one. And so I'm going through it, reading it separate from here. I've got so many markings in here, and I want to put it in my new Bible. And as I was reading these parts, I'm just excited about David's mighty men. Oh, they were fearless. Did you know God is calling for some fearless men in our world today? Oh, David, study about David's mighty men. I don't have time this morning to go into it, but I'm excited when I read about David's mighty men. So he's calling for some mighty men. And this passage right here that I'm going to read has to do with those mighty men. And what one of them said to all of them. And this is it. It says, "Be of good courage. Let us play the men." What does that mean? Are we just playing? Not really. To be a man, to be a mighty man, to be a man of valor, to be a fearless man. Oh, it takes courage. But God, the mighty God, has the ability to give our men all of those things for today. He does. And they say, let us play the men for a reason. For our people and for the cities of our God. Where's your burden? Oh, it needs to be first for our families, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our great-grandchildren. What's that saying is, be strong for the people and for the cities of our God. What's the cities of our God? It's the church of God. If we don't have strong men that are believing the truth, preaching the truth, living the truth, we will lose the truth. It will be lost to the next generation. You can look back into history. You can look at other churches that were once called holiness. I dare to even mention some. But I have one of my best friends. She was a Nazarene. They were like the saints at one time. They dressed like the saints. They looked like saints. She and I got engaged about the same time. We married 1 week apart. She married a minister of the Nazarene church. Her generation changed. By the time I met her again, which was not long before she died, she's dead. She's in eternity. She died the same year our daughter did. She came to visit me You could not tell her from anybody in the world. She had her makeup on, her jewelry, her pants, everything that the Nazarene church once preached against. And her husband was a minister. Did you know that can happen to us? If we let down, if we compromise, the next generation, you're opening a door for the next generation. And if they don't have the same vision of truth and hold to it and love it, it will be no different from any other sectarian church out there that once was called holiness and that lived a holy life. I believe God had some people that lived a holy life in these other movements. I believe it. We've got to have the vision of truth. Lord, help us. Help us to be men. Help us to play the part of a man. To be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. What a message. Oh, that it could go out and touch all of the people among this body of people. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. We bring it over into the New Testament now. And this is the cry of this age. It should be the cry of this age. Watch ye. Last Sunday we had a message concerning over in Ezekiel and where the watchman that is on the wall, the watchman that is to warn the righteous and to warn the wicked. And so the cry is, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like what men, all of us, women and men, we need to be strong, manly, spiritually manly. Quit you like men, be strong. I sense it in myself. So I know if I'm experiencing these kind of temptations that others are too. A weariness. Let down. Is it really important? I want to tell you, it's important. Keep hold of the truth and faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. There's a scripture that says, and we've used it many, many, many times, and you've heard it many times. Many are called. I'm going to add something to it this morning. All of the men of this world are called to be godly. That's the cry from God. Men have a responsibility, a grave responsibility. God has set them in a position to be the head of a family. I want to point you back to Adam and Eve. It was Eve that was tempted, but she also gave to her husband. He should have been a strong man and resisted it, but he also took part. And their eyes were opened, and they knew they were naked. And when God came to walk in the garden and talk to them, they hid themselves. God knew where they were. But you know what he said? He said, Adam, where are you? He didn't say anything about Eve right then. Oh, I want to tell you, to be a father, to be a man in this world, God's going to require some things. He's going to say, where are you? He's going to say, how are you treating your wife? How are you teaching your children? What kind of an example are you on the job? What kind of an example are you before your family? Are you a man for the cities of our God? So this is how I'm changing the scripture. Many are called to be godly men in this world. Many, if not all are called to that. But it says, few have chosen to be a man of God. We can choose to be a man of God. I wonder what our nation would be like if all of the men of our nation suddenly became men of God. Wouldn't that be heaven on earth? I know that we all have a responsibility and we're all going to answer for the deeds done in the body, the women and the men. I would like to see our men really get serious about being a man of God. There is a branch of service in our nation. I haven't seen this advertisement for many years, but it came to me this morning, and it said, we want just a few good men. You remember that? Anybody here remember that advertisement? If I remember correctly, it was the Marines. The Marines is supposed to be the top, you know. They have the most rigorous training of all of the different military services. They say they'll make a man out of you if you'll join the Marines. I believe God's calling for a few good men. I believe He would like to have some men that are full of courage, that are really serious about living for the Lord, that really has a vision of what it means. I believe He's calling for some men that will be willing to stand against the tide of this world. And I want to tell you, godly men today have more to stand against than they ever did in the generations before. But it can be done. I think He's calling for men to be men. I hate to say this, but women have almost ruined men. When the women's lib took place, it did nothing more than try to put the man down. And they still try to do it today. Shame on the women. It's the truth. They have advertisements. They do advertisements all the time that tries to present the man as being stupid and ignorant. Don't fall for it. God wants our men to be men. Stand up and be a godly man. Don't be a man just to be a man. Be a man for God. That's the only one that's going to work right. Play the part of the man. Stand in the gap. Be a witness. I have a song that came to my mind, Stand Up for Jesus. And every verse it starts with stand up. But I'm going to give you just the portions of those verses. And it says, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. That's the responsibility of us all, but for our men to lift high His royal banner. Another verse says, the trumpet call, obey. Remember last Sunday we talked about the trumpet. The minister giving a certain sound. If he gives an uncertain sound, if he leads you in a wrong way, you won't know how to fight. The trumpet call, obey, forth to the mighty conflict in this glorious day. Ye that are men, now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger. Isn't that a courageous verse? Then another verse says, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. That was in the message last Sunday too. We cannot trust in our own righteousness. You can't trust in yourself. You must be in the strength of God, the Almighty God. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer, where calls the voice of duty. What's your duty today? Your duty is to be a man of God. Be never wanting there. Don't let it ever slack up. What a mighty God we serve. That's why that song meant so much to me this morning. It gave me the courage to go ahead. I mean, I'm sitting over there and I'm saying, Lord, I can't do this. I don't even know how to do it. I don't even know how to put it together. That's what I was saying. And then that song, it is the message of the hour. One more song, and it is 115. I'm just going to give you parts of it. It speaks about the mighty God and what He can do for us. And it says, mighty to save and mighty to keep. mighty to save by power divine. I'm just giving you parts of it, what he's mighty in. Mighty to save from sin here below. He's able to save you and me to the uttermost. We don't ever have to backslide. We can get saved. He will keep us saved to our last breath. Mighty to keep in this evil time. You know, this song was probably written 100 years ago. Is it still this true today? Yes. Mighty to conquer Satan, we know. He'll help you overcome the devil. Mighty to keep in life's darkest hour. Mighty to shield us from Satan's power. Oh, we're serving the mighty God. Final scripture is Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. And it says, finally, this is the end of the message. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then it tells us how. Put on the whole armor. And it doesn't matter whether we're a woman or a man this morning. We need the whole armor of God to be able to stand in that evil day. To be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be of good courage. Let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. Amen.